Red Bluff Roundup is on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys and cowgirls. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, and wild pony riding and more. Friday is brought to you by Food Max and Tri-Counties Bank. Gates open at 5 for rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank at Red Bluff Dodge Day. Gates open at 12 for rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music stars Morgan Wallen and Chris Lane. I'm going up, down, up, down. And Sunday is Haleakala and St. Elizabeth's Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton here on a Saturday morning. Thank you for joining us. Follow me on Twitter at Connor Sutton to tweet questions or comments. First segment today, we got a lot of good stuff today. Head women's softball coach from Simpson University, Wayne Stower, is joining us here currently. We have NFL draft preview coming up later. Let's get right into it, Wayne. I got a lot of questions for you. You know, you're about three quarters of the way done with your season. One conference series for you guys left, as you guys are members of the CalPAC conference and the NEI. 12-2 in conference so far. You guys are off to a great start with the conference tournament coming up shortly that Simpson is actually hosting. You guys have a lot of youth on your roster this year. What have you seen from your young players that you have liked?
Well, anytime you have young kids, it just takes time for them to develop and come together as a team. We moved a lot of kids around, and so they were playing different positions than they were used to.
Does that give you flexibility as a coach, though, if you have injuries or if you have players who are sick or things of that nature?
Yeah, we've had a lot of injuries this year, and we've had to move a lot of people around, so with their athletic ability, it lets us do that.
Last year, you graduated a number of key seniors, and I was actually talking to a number of different people about this, but last year, probably you guys had the best player in the conference on your team. Maybe not win the all-conference because of, you know, just political reasons, but you graduated a lot of key seniors. Have you had to adapt as a coach to a lot of your younger players that you kind of, with your seniors last year, you kind of knew them well enough, you could kind of figure out if they were in a slump, you could talk to them. Have you had to adjust at all?
Yeah, you do, because you don't know exactly what buttons to push with young kids.
Right.
And so it takes time for, as a coach, to adapt to them and let them get to know you better.
What have you been so most impressed with your team here in the last month and a half?
Well, I think the biggest thing is they came together as a team. They play together more like a team now. They adapted well to the positions they got put into and accepted them.
Early on, there was kind of not sloppy play defensively, but here and there, let's be honest, there was a couple errors that you would shake your head at, I would shake your head at, but it seems like the team has more confidence now.
Yeah, anytime you have young kids and they're coming out of high school and stuff, it's a period of adjustment to them. And yeah, we made a lot of errors that we aren't typically make. But I think a lot of that had to do with me moving a lot of kids around.
Right. You moved Madison Wright a couple times from second base to center field and a All-American second teamer last year. You've moved her, I think, back to second base last weekend. Is that correct?
Yeah, we moved her back. We were on a road trip to L.A., and to move her back was better than and to move her freshman shortstop out to center field.
Right. How valuable is it for you to have players who can play multiple positions?
Oh, it's huge. Like you touched on earlier, with injuries or anything like that, we can adapt to it pretty easily. We don't have to panic over, oh my goodness, who we're going to put in there. So with their athletic ability and ability to adapt to other positions, works real well.
Let's talk about Madison Wright real quick, because she is truly unbelievable. Like I said, last year, second team All-American. We'll definitely be an all-conference member this year in the CalPAC. How big is having her, because she leads off for you guys usually, having her as a table setter for your offense?
Well, it's huge. She gets on base, and she runs well, so we can steal bases. We can do a lot of things once she gets on base. And, you know, then we got just great hitters coming up through the lineup behind her. So once she gets on base, we usually score in the first, so it's really nice.
Sydney Moorhead has been a marquee player for you guys this year. Kind of a second coming of Paris Hallams a little bit. An unbelievable freshman talent who just seems like she's eager every single game to go out there and dominate.
Yeah, Sid came in this year, and I told her she was going to have to come in and replace Paris, and I said that's a 20-game winner. And she accepted the challenge and really went way beyond what I was expecting from her.
Talk about her competitiveness level, though, because it seems like she just is fired up before every time she goes out there.
Yeah, she's very competitive. She goes out there with a mindset that she's going to throw a shutout and not lose a game. And when she doesn't throw well, she's not much fun to be around.
Well, I know earlier this year she had, and I think four consecutive starts, she had 24 and a third innings of scoreless pitching, which is truly unbelievable. And that's just kind of coming into what we've been saying is that this team is now red hot, 12-2 in conference.
Yeah, we are playing really, really well. And not to correct you, but we're actually 14-2 in conference.
I'm sorry. At the time, we were 12-2. Now you're 14-2. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, you know, Sydney, when she's on the mound, we have a ton of confidence that she's going to throw a great game for us.
Obviously, let me ask you this. Do you coach differently from non-conference games to conference games?
I try not to. It was different this year, like we talked. We were still trying to learn who was going to play where, and myself on how to coach them a little bit differently.
Would you maybe try players at different positions in non-conference games? Because, I mean, Les, we got to have our listeners know that conference games, while non-conference games do matter, they don't matter as much as conference games.
Well, that's right. Non-conference just helps us in national ranking.
Right.
The difference this year, typically we would not play kids in so many different positions, but we were still searching and hunting for the right combination.
Usually you guys are a ranked team this year. A couple early losses that, in my opinion, is still, it's insane to me that you guys are unranked. But does this team seem to have an underdog mentality because they are not ranked? I'm not talking about right now, but when they get into the conference tournament and into the opening round of the national tournament, are they going to make some noise because they feel like they are that underdog and they're kind of disrespected?
Yeah, I think so. I think that has to do a lot with our conference, too. Our conference is not highly respected anyway.
Right.
So we got to work really hard to get respect from other teams and conferences.
Conference tournament's coming up May 3rd through the 6th at Simpson University. Is there a team in the conference tournament? We don't know all the teams are going to be in there yet. Is there a team that maybe you're going to focus on a little bit more than the others?
Really not. You know, we're kind of getting mentality one game at a time. I know it's everyone says that, but for us, we can't really afford to look by anybody because we are still young and we're still young and learning.
Because this team is so young, I mean, it's hard for me not to think about the future because there's so many freshmen and sophomores. It seems like that this could be the continuance of your dynasty and your dominance in the CalPAC and the NEI on the West Coast.
Well, we would like to hope so. We start five freshmen, three sophomores, and a junior. So, you know, looking forward, you would hope everything goes well. But
right.
From year to year, you never know.
How many seniors do you have this year?
We have three.
Wow. Truly incredible. What players have you been most surprised with this year?
Mazzie Davis. She's our left fielder, freshman. I think she's hitting 470.
She's probably, she's up there for CalPAC Player of the Year,
right?
I would imagine.
She really came in and surprised me. I wasn't expecting that from her. Sydney Moorhead, even though we thought she would be what she is, you never know until she gets here. And really, you talked about Madison Wright, but Mia Oliveira is probably our most consistent kid. We kind of lean on her a lot.
I think she'll be up. I think it'll be between those two, Mazzie Davies and Mia Oliveira, for CalPAC Player of the Year, depending on what happens in your final series. What about in defensively? We saw Gentry Hoffman make an unbelievable play last weekend in right field, a headlong dive to save a couple runs. Talk about your outfield. It seems like this year you have such a good defensive outfield. In years past, you've put some of your sluggers out there. But it seems like this year this might be your best defensive outfield we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, we've got 3-4 kids out there that can really run. So when you have great speed in outfield, they cover a lot of ground, and they make great plays. So, like I said, we moved Deja Acosta out to center field. She was predicted to be our starting shortstop all year, but she covers so much ground out there. And Gentry is another kid that has just really stepped up.
He is Wayne Stower. The Simpson University Redhawks softball team is red hot, 14-2 in conference, with the conference tournament coming up May 3rd through the 6th at Simpson University. For more information, you can visit SimpsonRedhawks.com. We will be right back. I appreciate having you on the show, by the way, Wayne. We will be right back with my NFL mock draft on Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it, Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for you. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Segment two here with Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. We just heard from head Simpson University softball coach Wayne Stower. A lot of good stuff there. That team is so good. They're going to dominate, I believe, in the conference tournament and then hopefully make some noise in the opening round of the national tournament, maybe even get to the World Series. They should definitely have the talent for it. But even if they don't this year, that team next year and the next 2 to 3 years can be very, very good. So that'll be exciting. If you haven't checked out a Simpson University softball game, you got to do it. A lot of talent out there. It's high-quality softball. It's fast-paced. And I really recommend it. Wayne Stower, no one really talks about it very much. I'm surprised we don't hear about it more often. Might be the most winning coach in the North State area because he's done it at the college level for so long. So many conference championships, a national title in the NCCAA back in 2015. They've made it to the NAIA World Series numerous times. So like I said, Wayne Stoer, very accomplished. He knows what he's talking about. I'd love to have him on the show. All right. It is time for my NFL mock draft. Now, this is going to be a little bit different than what we've seen in the past from most people in mock drafts because I think mock drafts are... All right, honestly, I think they're stupid because they're so difficult to get what's right. You can't predict the GM. But what I'm going to call this mock draft is this is the mock draft that GMs should take if they're not stupid. I'll go with number one. Obviously, Cleveland, number one pick yet again. The Browns. They got Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, but is he the answer? I don't know. My concern is they just took on his contract. Yikes. If he's the answer, will they take a quarterback first pick? I think they have to. They got to take Sam Darnold. He kind of reminds me of Andrew Luck. They don't have a Darnold did not have a great O-line at USC, but he still played well. He did have interception numbers that were a little high, but that doesn't scare me that much. I think because he has more protection, he has more targets, his accuracy will improve. And I want my quarterbacks to throw the ball down the field. So I think Darnold is the best player in the draft. He's definitely the best quarterback in the draft, in my opinion. And if Cleveland doesn't take them, as I said earlier, I don't know what to do. The Browns are turning into a laughingstock. However, I have to say this. I do like the moves they've made in the offseason. So I got Sam Darnold at number one. Giants with the number two pick out of New York. Is Eli their guy at quarterback? I don't know. They just traded their best pass rusher. Odell Beckham Jr. is out. The Giants are an absolute mess right now. It's time to start over. What pieces do you have that you can put together a team to compete for a championship? And that's what you're trying to do if you're going to keep Eli. To me, I don't think the Giants will do this. Or I think the Giants will do this, unfortunately. Instead of taking a quarterback, I think they're going to take Saquon Barkley at number two. Barkley's the best running back in the draft, but my fear is it's such a running back heavy draft that the Giants could wait to the second and third round and get a guy who might be 80 to 85 to 90% of Saquon Barkley. And that's just for right now. So I got the Giants taking Saquon Barkley. I hope they don't for their sake, but I do think they are going to. Number three, the Jets. They just got Teddy Bridgewater, but who knows what he's going to. He hasn't played since 2016. Again, they got to take a quarterback. To me, they got to take Josh Rosen out of UCLA. He's game ready, but again, his accuracy scares me. But he does have a big arm, and the Jets just need somebody to get them out of this little rut they're in. Back to the Browns at number four. If the Browns want to find a franchise quarterback, they need to give him protection. It seems like every time they draft a quarterback, he never has any protection. He's constantly under pressure. Tough to make throws when you're under pressure, especially when you're a young quarterback. I think they're going to take Denzel Ward, a corner from Ohio State, but I think the Browns should take an O-lineman. I don't think they will. Again, this is the draft that I think GMs should do, but yikes. The Browns, they got to make moves and they got to do it quickly if they want to get out of this hole they've been in for the last, 15 years? But here's why I do like Denzel Ward. The Buckeyes always produce great corners from Ohio State. One of the fastest perimeter players in the draft. And he's the fastest rising player on a lot of draft boards. I'm very impressed with what I've seen from him. So Denzel Ward is at number four. For the Broncos, I think this is a spot the Broncos could trade this pick. They aren't terrible anywhere, but the AFC West is so good to compete again in the AFC West with the Chiefs. And with the Raiders, I think they might make a trade. However, if they don't make a trade, to me they need some help on the outside. They need a wide receiver. So I have two guys I think they might pick. I'll go with the first is Cortland Sutton out of Southern Methodist. Big guy, is a big target, very fast. I like what he can do. He's got good hands. Haven't seen a whole lot from him because he's from Southern Methodist. However, I think he could be good. So that'll be my number five pick. But my second wide receiver, other than Sutton, and it's not just because he's the same last name as me, but that does help, I'm not going to lie, is James Washington out of Oklahoma State. Very impressive. I think I think he could do big things out on the perimeter for the Broncos. And honestly, the Broncos are a team that could shock people here in 2018. The sixth pick is the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Colts have Andrew Luck. Do we know how healthy he's going to be or if he's ever going to be the old Andrew Luck? I'm going to predict that he's going to be. But they need a defensive lineman, and they need it bad. And this is the player who I think is probably the best player in the draft. Can come in right away and be effective. Defensive end Bradley Chubb out of NC State. Andrew Luck has never had a good defense since he's been in the league. The Colts have always had to rely on him. Maybe if they get a good pass rusher in Bradley Chubb at the sixth pick, I'm curious because I don't know if he'll drop that far because he is that good. And defensive linemen and DNs are so valuable. But also, this is a defensive lineman heavy draft. So I got Bradley Chubb from NC State going at the number six slot. Number seven, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This one's tough. There's a lot of people who can go in this spot because we're starting to get down a little bit. I've got Quentin Nelson, the O-lineman from Notre Dame. Big, big, strong guy. Jameis needs protection. He's gotten hurt recently. It's because he's had to do it all because he's under pressure. They got to give him some help. They need an O-lineman. Quentin Nelson's their guy. In the eighth pick for the Chicago Bears, again, pass rushers are so valuable in the NFL. They're going to go with Tremaine Edmonds. He's fast off the line, by the way. And I think he can do some damage early. All right, number nine pick. It's technically the 49ers. I'm going to predict a trade again because I think at some point the Buffalo Bills are going to have to trade up to get a quarterback. I don't know where they're going to trade up, but they got to go somewhere. And I think this is a spot where they can get a quarterback and a good one. I think they would take Josh Allen with this pick out of Wyoming. He's a wild card, at least for me. Arguably out of the top four guys, the least pro-ready. I think he's 2 years away from being a legit starter. And the problem is if the Buffalo Bills take him with the ninth pick after the trade, he's probably going to start. But he does have a big arm, and that will cut through that nasty weather in Buffalo. Decent mobility for Josh Allen. I think he's got to work on the footwork a little bit, but like I said, the big arm will help in that cold weather and the snow and the sleet. So again, Buffalo trading up to the 9 slot for the 49ers pick, which would be Josh Allen. Number 10, the Raiders badly need help in the secondary. Either Josh Jackson from Iowa, the cornerback, or Micah Fitzpatrick from Alabama at safety. And I think Fitzpatrick is, again, probably the best non-Bradley Chubb defensive player in the draft. He is so fast, he is so big, and I think he's pro-ready right now. He's going to be outstanding wherever he is taken, but I think the Raiders will take him at number 10. I'm only doing a top 10, but this, my 11th, is an extension because the Dolphins are the 11th pick, and the Dolphins need a quarterback. Jay Cutler's not their guy. He's going to be in the broadcast booth before long, as he already had a contract and went back to play. I think they take Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield might be the steal in the draft. People are making the Johnny Manziel comparisons. It's not Johnny Manziel. Come on. Mayfield has people scared because of the police video, the different things he's done on the sideline in the past. But I love him. He's a competitor. And like I said, a few dumb mistakes. But I think he's pretty good on the football field. His accuracy is good. But again, what scares me is the arm strength. But in Miami, what does that really matter? Right? They got gorgeous weather. The problem is when they go on the road, they might struggle. But Baker Mayfield is my number 11. And that is it for my NFL draft or NFL mock draft. And that's the thing is, this is the NFL draft that GMs should do unless they're stupid. We'll come back from break. I will have Sam Comente and Carlton McAllister, my two friends who know football very, very well. They'll give me their takes on my mock draft. And they'll also give me a little taste of their mock drafts. We'll be right back. This is Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Lisa, I want some more.
More? You want more?
Oliver.
the award-winning musical adaptation of the classic Dickens novel springs to life at the Cascade Theater with some of the most memorable characters and songs ever to hit the stage. April 19th to the 22nd and 26th to the 29th. Tickets on sale now at the Cascade box office by calling 243-8877 and online at cascadetheater.org.
Red Bluff Roundup is on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys and cowgirls. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, and wild pony riding, and more. Friday is brought to you by Food Max and Tri-County's Bank. Gates open at 5 for rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank at Red Bluff Dodge Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music stars Morgan Wallen and Chris Lane.
The sun going up, down, up, down. Take back home, home, home.
And Sunday is Haleakala and St. Elizabeth's Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Osteani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Osteani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Osteani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great planning, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Segment 3, Sports Talk with Connor Sutton. You just heard my NFL mock draft. If GMs aren't stupid, but they are, so they'll do something different. Sam Kamete, Carlton McAllister are now joining me here. They heard my mock draft. They probably didn't like it. That's fine. I'm going to let Sam go first. You were on the show last week, Sam, to talk about Lions Club All-Star Game. Welcome back. Here's my thing, though, Sam, is you're going to criticize me. That's fine.
That's why I'm here.
I mean, that's not why you're here, but... give me a pick that you like, that you agree with, that I said.
Okay. There's a couple. I mean, I definitely think it takes a lot for you, because you're a basketball guy.
I am
deep
a basketball
down,
guy.
So you're kind of going out of your realm here to make a prediction on football that you're not as thorough with, like mm-hmm. as me. I mean, I do mock drafts since I was a kid. So I like Tremaine Edmonds. I told you this during the break, to the Bears, because the Bears have a need for a linebacker and a pass rusher right. alongside Leonard Floyd. So that's a good pick at the back end of the top 10. Obviously, you can't deny that the Browns need a quarterback and that Darnell is probably the most NFL ready. So that's something you said, and that's true. And you said Saquon Barkley to the Giants at 2, and I do think the Giants are going to take Saquon Barkley number 2 because they're trying to roll out these next couple years, probably 2 years, with Eli Manning in hopes that he can win another Super Bowl for them with Saquon Barkley handing the ball off to him.
Which is such a mistake. I mean, they're not good enough. Even if they get Eli, if they keep Eli for 2 years, they're not going to get a good enough roster. In the next 2 years, they're the number two pick, let's be honest. So they're not obviously not that good as a roster.
Well, the thing that people forget is that, for one, their last year the coaching staff just fell apart at the seams. And also, they had so many injuries. Odell Beckham was hurt. Everybody on that defense was hurt. They actually have a pretty talented roster. It was dysfunction that took over, injuries that took over. So if you take Saquon Barkley, which immediately boosts your offense with Odell Beckham coming back as well, they have a very good young tight end. Eli Manning's proven he can win Super Bowls.
Yes.
And their defense is what becomes the tricky thing, because you do need to re-up that defense.
All right. Give me your mock draft real quick.
Okay.
Top 10.
Top 10.
What do you have, like 30 picks?
I did all 32. I don't mess around with my mock drafts.
Wow.
But number one, I'm going to do...
I think you need to spend more time elsewhere.
Yeah, I know. I need more things going on.
Man.
So, Browns, I'm going with Josh Allen instead of Sam Darnold. That's not to say I don't think Sam Darnold is the best quarterback. It's that I'm trying to think in the mind of John Dorsey, the GM, who just last year, with the Chiefs, traded up about 10 slots to take Pat Mahomes, a big-arm quarterback from a school that's really not great in football at Texas Tech. And he loved that guy. And he liked the idea that he could take Pat Mahomes and sit him behind Alex Smith for a year, which is exactly what he did. And now Pat Mahomes is the starting quarterback. Josh Allen, you take him number one overall because he's a big boomer bust, athletic, great arm. You sit him this year, maybe next year, behind Tyrod Taylor because you don't have any rush. If they didn't have Tyrod Taylor, you take Sam Darnold. You don't need to play Josh Allen. You need to sit him behind Tyrod Taylor and another quarterback.
I agree with you. I said when the Bills take him at the ninth slot, again, he's not a starter right now. You need to give him 2 years.
Right. And that's the plan. That's why you can be comfortable. We can take him because he doesn't need to play. So then, I think Saquon Barkley goes two. I think the Jets, this is the biggest toss-up. It's going to be a quarterback. They traded up to take a quarterback.
Yep.
Who their quarterback is up for grabs. I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield, honestly,
Whoa.
Because New York wants some flair. They want some excitement, and they don't need him to start right away either because they have Teddy Bridgewater and they re-signed Josh McCown. I like Baker Mayfield because he's deadly accurate, because he's a competitor, and because he's a guy that players around him rally behind. And players at Oklahoma said, we rallied around Baker Mayfield because he was that intense. So they trade up, they take a guy that long-term can bring a lot of excitement to New York, which is really what it's all about. Browns, again, at four, Bradley Chubb, bookend, defensive end, pass rusher, best defensive player in this draft, as you said, alongside Myles Garrett. That gives them a ferocious defense. Broncos at number five, I think my brothers are Broncos fans. They said the only way the Broncos take a quarterback at five is if Sam Darnold is available. Otherwise, they take a defense or they trade down. Sam Darnold is going to be available at five in my mock draft, so you take him and you are overly excited about that if you're John Elway. Going quicker now. Bills, this is where my trade is, where the Bills trade back in. I think the Colts traded out once. They're going to trade out again because they feel comfortable. We have a quarterback. We don't need to be here. They'll trade back. They'll get more picks. Bills take Josh Rosen at UCLA. Me and Carlton were saying Josh Rosen has the potential to be the best quarterback in this draft. There's just questions as to how committed he is to football because he's also a business major and a guy that could get into finance and probably be pretty good. He's from UCLA, so we know he's pretty smart. So the commitment isn't fully there. You want to say something or you want me to just finish
it
up?
No, right. Keep going.
All right, so Bucs 7, they take Derwin James, who I actually think might be better than Minkah Fitzpatrick because he has more of a role. Minkah Fitzpatrick is a Swiss Army knife. He plays every defensive back position. Derwin James is a safety, and he's a dang good safety, and his comparison is to Eric Berry, who is a phenomenal safety, and they need a safety. So they take safety. Bears, I like Tremaine Edmonds, like I said. I think at this spot with Quentin Nelson available, who could be Zach Martin 2.0, you take him because you want to protect your franchise quarterback and Mitch Trubisky, who they think is their franchise quarterback at least. And then Niners-Raiders. Niners take Minkah Fitzpatrick because they need DB help badly. Now that they have Richard Sherman in the mix, they can really start going upwards. And then my Raiders, I think they'll be really tempted to take Denzel Ward here. They took a Ohio State cornerback last year in Garyon Connolly. Unfortunately, he didn't get a chance to play. But I think they take Roquan Smith, who I hear is, you know, atop their draft board because of his athleticism, sideline to sideline linebacker, which is needed in the modern NFL. And they have a huge need, at middle linebacker. So Roquan Smith goes to them from Georgia. And there you go. Top 10.
Okay. Not bad. Carlson, anything that you heard from Sam? First off, who do you agree with more right now? I'm just curious.
Oh, 100% Sam.
I was hoping you would say that.
Why is that?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that you're kind of... I understand yours is not the ideal, you know, kind of the draft that you... draft for owners, but I don't think kind of you take into account the players on the field, how they've played this year, what they're going to look like, how they fit into schemes, things like that as well. So that's kind of what I was more thinking of is just kind of the schemes as well. I agree a lot more with Sam. Actually, a lot of his picks I have. I think the only pick I don't have in the top 10 is Baker Mayfield. It's the only one I don't have.
Why is that? You have the same reason that I think he's going
to
drop.
Yes, I think he's going to drop. I think any team will be lucky to have him, but I think it's just an attitude problem. I think it's just going to be just like Johnny Manziel, just an attitude problem.
Which is an unfair comparison because Johnny Manziel is literally bipolar. Baker Mayfield is just a dude that loves football
Manziel,
and gets carried away.
Johnny Manziel didn't have a police video either.
Yeah, that's true.
Anytime you have a police video, it's never good.
He's 23, Baker Mayfield. The young guys make dumb mistakes, and he was a kid that's made some dumb mistakes. But yes, now it's got a time to grow up.
Definitely. I think any team would be really lucky to have him. Also, though, he's 5'8". He's playing again.
He's not 5'8".
He's pretty short.
He's 6'1", which is small.
Okay, you know, that's very questionable. 5'8",
he would be dead by now. If
no,
I
well,
playing
no,
football.
I mean, because Russell Wilson's pretty short, too.
Russell Wilson's pretty short.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, he's not as athletic as Russell Wilson, though, so there's no way we can't make that comparison, because he's not nearly
as athletic. Not at all.
And
no,
his wife is not nearly as attractive as Russell Wilson's wife.
Saying.
Well, nobody is as athletic as Russell Wilson, a quarterback, for his height. He does things that nobody else has done. You can say Michael Vick, Carlton, because I know you're a big... Michael Vick guy back in the
day
with the Falcons.
Wow.
But here's the thing with him is that Russell Wilson is so valuable because of his athleticism. He's smaller, so he can make little moves to get out of the way where Vick could not. My problem with Baker Mayfield is he's not athletic enough to make plays on the run.
Yes.
And his accuracy on the run scares me.
I think it was one of the better, though.
Right, but I'm saying...
You know, his accuracy was the highest by far of any quarterback.
Right, but here's the thing is, when he gets to the NFL, it's going to be way different.
There's smaller windows to fit in, I agree. Yeah.
I almost think, from the quarterback position, it's almost better to have a small school quarterback because everything jumps so much, as long as you have a pro-style offense. And that's one of the things that I think has changed a lot more in college the last 2 to 3 years, is that we see more quarterbacks coming out who have played with the pro-style offense. So when they jump in, they can jump in easier. Real quick, though, I want to see. We got a couple minutes here before the end of this segment. Who is your guys' rookie of the year?
You go.
I stumped you on that. Here's why I think it is. I think Saquon Barkley will win it. And here's why. Running backs.
I thought you just asked us a question. No, you're answering the
question. Well, both of you guys gave me a blank stare. All right,
fair enough.
I figured I would jump in and give you my opinion.
I mean, that's fair to say, Saquon. Yeah. That's offensive rookie of the year. You have offensive and defensive.
Right, right. I'm talking about offensive. I think Chubb will win defensive rookie of the year. I think he's the best player in the draft by far. He's kind of a Jadeveon Clowney kind of, but except for because that draft didn't really have any quarterbacks in it that were as highly scouted as these. So, Saquon, it's easy for running backs to kind of transition into the NFL compared to other positions, compared to the quarterback position. So there's a couple things that will come into effect. I think if you go to a team that has a good O-line, if we go to the Giants, they don't have a great pass blocking O-line, but they do have a good run blocking O-line.
They're big.
So I think Barkley will be rookie of the year.
Because Saquon's just the safe pick if we're going to pick a rookie of the year right now, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You know he's the best offensive talent.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go a little bit more creative, I guess. I don't want to take a quarterback because it's hard to say which quarterback's actually going to play. It's likely that none of these quarterbacks will start the season as the starting quarterback for their team. They're all going to be sitting behind somebody. I'm going to go, we talk about tight ends, and that tight ends aren't very valued in today's NFL, which is sad, because I love a good receiving tight end. I'm going to say Hayden Hurst, who I think is going to go to the Ravens, who desperately need to get Joe Flacco some help. And I see if that happens, if the Ravens take Hayden Hurst, he's going to immediately become Joe Flacco's best friend. And he's going to throw to him consistently, over and over and over and over and over. And Hayden Hurst is going to rack up 700 yards and probably 6 touchdowns or so, and win Offensive Rookie of the Year over Saquon Barkley because he's consistent enough and he gets a lot more reps. This is out of left field.
No, that's really bold. I like
but
that.
But Hurst is being compared to Dallas Clark, who was one of, growing up, my favorite players to watch. No gloves, wearing the tape around his fingers, old school. So I think Hayden Hurst is going to be a really good tight end, probably the best, at least this year, from this draft. So I'll go with that, be creative.
I actually am going to go with a later round pick. I'm actually going to go with Kerryon Johnson from Auburn. I think that kid is a workhorse. He was easily taking 25-plus carries at Auburn. I think he actually would be...
A deeper running back,
A deep running back.
I said earlier, this is popular now.
Yeah.
This is a deep running back class.
Very, very. I mean, you got two that are actually... being considered from Georgia, who is Michaels, who's the backup for Chubb,
right,
at Georgia. Yeah, so two running backs from the same school.
Both of them are very good.
Very good.
A lot of good stuff, guys. We will be right back. You know what? We'll talk a little bit more about this after the break.
You're listening
to Sports Talk with Connor Sutton.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
NHL star Matt Martin for American Humane.
Hi, I'm Matt Martin, and in all my years of playing professional hockey, I've gotten my share of bruises and injuries. But for many who really put their lives on the line every day, it's not always the injuries you can see that hurt the most. I'm talking about our veterans. Every single day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And tragically, 20 take their own lives. When medications and therapy don't help, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane, serving the U.S. military for over 100 years, has put together a free guide to help veterans obtain these life-saving service animals. If you are a veteran or know a veteran struggling with PTS, please go to AmericanHumane.org for this free, downloadable resource. Let's give our veterans the help they need to win their battle.
For more information, visit AmericanHumane.org.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Final segment here on a Saturday morning. Connor Sutton joined by Sam Comente, Carlton McAllister. We're talking NFL draft. We're also joined by our producer, Jared King, who's always in the booth with me with a charming smile on his face every day. All right. I kind of want to transition a little bit away from the draft. We're talking about the draft, but not specific players. So a general manager is one of the toughest jobs, I think, in sports. You got 10 minutes. Say you're on the clock with the first pick. Well, not the first pick because you know who you're going to take usually. But the second or third pick, maybe some guys that you wanted are taken. You have 5 minutes to make a decision that could cost you your job. Sounds stressful? Yeah, it is. High pressure, high risk. But if you pick the right guy, high reward. You pick a quarterback in the first round that pans out. He could be a franchise quarterback. Guess what? You got a job for 10 to 12 years, and you're making north of a couple million dollars a year. So the reason why they pay these general managers so well is because they do have a tough job, because they have to make decisions quickly in the draft. Sometimes they got to make trades in the draft. There's so many things that GMs have to pay attention for. But the problem is a lot of GMs get caught up in, I like a guy. Well, why do you like a guy? Do you like him now or do you like him for the future? Are you looking for a guy who's going to produce now or are you looking for a guy who's going to produce in 2 to 3 years? These are all questions that GMs and their staffs have to talk about in less than 10 minutes. Now, most of the time they'll be producing and having a lot of these discussions way ahead of time. But, again, high pressure, high risk, and if you hit it right, high reward. But, again, those 10 minutes, got to make sure you get your draft pick right. Otherwise, it could cost you your job. All right. What do GMs look for in players? Different positions want different things. Here's the thing, and I'll let you guys weigh in on this. When you want a quarterback, to me, nowadays, especially this draft, we're talking about it, and this is, we could all agree, this is a quarterback-heavy draft, right?
Yeah, correct.
Four quarterbacks that could be taken in the top 10. But this is the first time ever I've heard in the last, what, 5 to 7 years, where we're talking about taking a quarterback, and yeah, we can sit him for a year. We can sit him for 2 years. Look at Jared Goff. Okay, so these guys, nowadays, instead of just starting, because, 20 years ago, you would take a quarterback, he wouldn't play the first year. Now, or like 5, 7 years ago, up until this year, I think, you take a quarterback, and then you're playing him right away, usually. What has changed? Why has that changed? Is it because it hasn't worked? Obviously, it hasn't worked for the Browns. They've gone through 18 quarterbacks or whatever it is in the last 20 years.
Well, I think it's less years than that. I think they've went through...
So I know, I'm just saying something like
past,
that.
Like 10.
I'm saying, why is that?
I would say that, you know, college football, people are starting to realize, is much different than an NFL game, especially in terms of offense. And a lot of these quarterbacks playing spread offenses that have now been shown to not translate to the NFL unless the offense you're going into is very spread-oriented, which is not common. Teams will like to mix and match spread concepts, like Andy Reid does it a lot in Kansas City because he likes the ideas, but he's not going to dedicate his whole playbook to it. I think what's changed is that, like you said, it's shown to not work out very often. And for teams, it's easier, I think, and you can feel more comfortable about your pick if you can draft a guy and sit him behind a veteran for a year than it is to throw him out there and let him get... Because it was always the conversation of, do we want him to get out there, even if he's getting clobbered and he's making mistakes, but he's learning, or do we want him to sit back and take it all in and then be more prepared? And it should always be about preparation. It shouldn't be about trial by fire.
Right. And also, and I think one of the big things is just confidence.
Yeah. And well, if you let him go out there and get killed, he's not going to have any confidence.
Well, another thing, though, that I think is pretty big that a lot of GMs have actually said this week when they're being interviewed about their picks is they want a guy that's going to win now. So you're looking at guys that are NFL ready now. And I think that is the biggest difference now than the past. Teams need to win now because you're on the chopping block immediately if you're not winning. So teams need quarterbacks, team needs running backs, people that are explosive offensively that can win now.
You're talking about GMs are on the chopping block, correct? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, well, everyone is.
Yeah.
GMs,
head coaches,
GMs, and head coaches, yeah. Everyone's on the chopping block. You need someone who's going to win now. And that's what a lot of GMs have said this week when they're talking about their picks. That's what they want. They don't want guys that are talented. They want guys, well, not necessarily talented, but they're looking for guys that are going to win because all these guys look very comparable. They want the one guy that's going to win. That's what they want, which is why they want people that are NFL ready now.
Because if they don't, they're going to have to pack up their desk.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's so much high turnover for GMs and coaches nowadays that you have to pick your guy. Otherwise, if your guy doesn't pan out,
the tough thing
might be it.
I think you were saying it's such a high stress job to be a general manager. Is that you can say there's a lot that goes into making draft picks and stuff. It really, truly is a guessing game. It really, yep. You can do as much research as you want on a guy. In the end, you're just
and
rolling the dice.
That's why I hate mock drafts, because nobody has any idea what every GM's thinking.
No, yeah.
Or we don't know, who's going to bust, who's not.
And we've seen it a lot. Like, they compare the 2013 draft is such a horrible draft in probably the last 20 years because of how it started, because people were reaching. They're taking this guy. Oh, he's an athlete. We want him. And he's not good. And then the first two offensive linemen, I'm talking 2013, so the Chiefs took Eric Fisher, the Jaguars took Luke Jokel, and then the Dolphins took Deion Jordan. Two of those three guys don't even play in the NFL anymore. And that's 3-4 years ago. It's just because you don't know. You're just making a guess.
I mean, this is kind of a jab at you, Sam, because I know you're a Raiders fan, but what about when the Raiders took Jamarcus Russell and gave him all that money?
If I were to defend, and that's, giving him all that money is now why rookie contracts are a thing. You can't, do what Al Davis did and guarantee a certain amount of money. There's a certain rate that every rookie gets.
$60 million?
It was like they guaranteed him $60 million.
It was ridiculous.
Right then. I will defend Jamarcus Russell in the sense that Jamarcus Russell had a lot of talent, but he did not have work ethic, which was something Al Davis God bless his soul, he did not value that. He did not really care. He was thinking, well, who's the best athlete? Is he fast? Can he throw the football 65 yards on his knees, which is what Jamarcus Russell could do on his knees? The dude was a very talented quarterback
You know what he couldn't do? Come to practice on time?
Nope. He would fall asleep. He liked, it was called Purple Drank, which was like codeine and cough syrup. He would drink that all the time is what they would say. He'd be at practice just feeling good.
Which is why I think they put a lot of emphasis
on backgrounds.
On backgrounds, yeah. Which is why I was definitely pushing Baker Mayfield out of the top 10.
Right.
I think just attitude. And same thing for Josh. Yeah, they say that these guys are, you know, they don't know if they don't know if they care about football the way
if you want to be a pro player, I don't care what sport it is. You have to
breathe
your sport.
Yeah.
That's your job. I mean, think about just players. You have to wake up in the morning. You're probably working out 2 to 3 times a day plus practice. You have to stay in shape. You have to rehab. You have to want to. See if you get hurt in mid of the season. You have to want to come back to play because rehab is not easy. So if you don't breathe your sport, and like you said, you don't bleed your sport, you're not going to be successful.
And I think if you look at the quarterbacks that have been successful in the past couple of years, and this is why you have the right argument saying Baker Mayfield's going to drop, Josh Rosen's going to drop. Carson Wentz, the great thing they love about Carson Wentz is this dude was all football. He loved football. So now he's a guy who's completely devoted. Derek Carr, man of faith and a man of football. That's all Derek Carr is, and he's a good football player. And then Dak Prescott loved football. I mean, these guys that have panned out that weren't even drafted in the first or second rounds are guys that you can look at and be like, this guy cares only about one thing.
I mean, look at Tom Brady. He's changed everything about his life.
Pick, yeah.
Changed everything in his life. His diet. He doesn't drink alcohol.
He barely lifts now. He does.
I mean,
he does like some form of yoga.
That's because he's so old. He doesn't know anything.
I mean, he's like 41 now. Yeah.
So it's insane for these GMs to try and take somebody who doesn't breathe football, because if they don't, again, that guy could cost you your job, especially first-round picks. If your first-round pick doesn't hit, you better hope you hit later, because otherwise you're going to be done in 2 years.
Well, I think,
and you better save your $3 million that you just made on your contract for your first 2 years, because you're going to be pretty much done. You better go work in college as a linebacker coach, or I don't know what you're going to do with that one. Maybe go to the broadcast booth. That's where a lot of careers of people have gone.
Tony Romo's a great broadcaster now.
He was
big
good.
Fan.
He just couldn't stay healthy. But I think that's actually what a lot of teams are actually looking at too, is second and third round. I think the biggest, the best example of that was the Seahawks with their draft with Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor, the
Thomas.
Linebacker Bobby Wagner. That was the most amazing draft.
They hit one draft and they won a Super Bowl because of that. They were dominant for, 6 years? Now all of a sudden it's breaking up. But
well, they haven't hit first-round picks, and that's what the GM in Seattle is getting ridiculed, because you haven't hit on a first-round pick in years. He didn't need to. He's been hitting on these late-round picks.
Winning.
Which is weird. You know, you don't usually see that. You know, GM will make his living by getting these first-round picks right. John Schneider's the GM in Seattle. He's been hitting because of six-round picks, fifth-round picks. Turning out
which
well.
Which is incredible.
Which is incredible. I think round of applause to you, man.
Can you imagine, as a GM, you got to basically let your career ride on a 21 or 22-year-old?
Damn, it's insane.
I mean, you're putting all your eggs in that basket, especially if it's a quarterback.
Right.
Man, I hope this guy works out, because if it doesn't work out, like I said, I'm packing my bags. I'm going somewhere else. I mean, if I'm the Browns GM, I have to live in Cleveland. But, I mean, it's insane to me that these GMs there's so much turnover nowadays because that everybody wants you to hit there's so much pressure too, and I get that. And it's in every sport. It's not just the NFL. It's the NBA. It's the Major League Baseball. I mean, Joe Girardi got fired from the Yankees last year, and he made it to the AL Championship.
And I think that's a bummer that he got fired. But real quick, if I could say, I think what NFL teams are starting to do, shifting towards, is really focus a lot on free agency and hit these needs in free agency, which the Browns did. They took all that money they had and say, here's what we have. That way, going in the draft, it's not as much of a risk.
The Eagles started that last year, obviously won a Super Bowl with it.
Right.
And I think more teams are starting to follow suit. Like, okay, maybe we can go get some free agents instead of just trying to hit everything in the draft.
Take the proven guys.
Absolutely. Great show today. A lot of good stuff. First segment, we had Wayne Stower, Simpson softball coach, who was outstanding. Had a lot of good stuff there. They're a talented team that were playing in the CalPAC Championship tournament May 3rd through the 6th. And if they win that tournament, they'll head to the opening round of the national tournament. Sam Comente, Carlton McAllister, we had our NFL mock drafts, talked about drafting in general in the NFL. So a lot of good stuff today. NFL draft is Thursday. We hope you have a great rest of your weekend. And now it's time for my favorite thing about this show, which is the song on the way out that makes me laugh. Let's hit it.
The news is brought